My name is Wes Waddell. I'm a campus minister in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm actually working with the Crossings Church to plant a new congregation that's going to serve all of the colleges in the St. Louis metro area. We'll be doing that in about 1 year, and so I'm training with them. Kerry Cox is sitting on the back row back there. He doesn't look like it, but he has about 18 years of experience in campus ministry. And so he's teaching me a whole lot, and I've got about 10 years experience myself. Clint Hale's on the back row back there. He is a campus minister in Tulsa at the Park Plaza Church of Christ. And so we're all kind of, we got a crew up here today, and I'll let Lynn introduce himself.
My name's Lynn Stringfellow. I'm the Director of Ministry Advancement for Campus Ministry United. Wes and I started Campus Ministry United back in 2006 with the simple idea of planting more campus ministries. And we'll explain why we had that idea and why we think that's important.
Okay. And this will be kind of a free-flowing class. Like, it's going to be interactive. We'll take some Q&A at the end and stuff. Like, we just kind of wanted to talk about our passion today. And I see a lot of AIM shirts out there. How many of you guys in the AIM program? All right, cool. How many of you guys actually work in campus ministry? Anybody in here? Okay, cool. How many of you guys are interested in possibly working in campus ministry in the future? Okay. How many of you are very familiar with campus ministry? Okay, some of you. All right. Okay, well, that's helpful. Let's start with the simple stuff. For those of you that don't know, what is campus ministry? Lynn, what is campus ministry?
I don't know, man. You're going to have to tell me.
Really?
It is the most neglected mission field, I believe, not just here, but all over the world. I believe the world is coming to us. We spend millions and millions of dollars a year sending people to China, for example, and the brightest students and the richest students in China are being sent right to our doorstep. They're on your university campus. And get this, not just ones from China, but from all over the world. They're sent here and told when they come, part of what they have to learn is about our religious faith. They come over here seeking. They want to know.
Yeah, and I actually didn't know what campus ministry was, so I was like in my 20s. And I'm a church kid. I grew up in Arkansas. My dad's a preacher. My mom was the church secretary. When I was about 15, I started messing around with drugs and stuff and partying, and we were honestly part of a church that was pretty unhealthy at the time with the youth ministry and everything. And so I kind of fell away in the middle of my teenage years and went my own path for a long time.
Kinda?
Yeah, kinda. Kinda like as in completely. And, you know, life got tough for me as I moved into my college years. And I remember, I guess the first time I even thought about campus ministry, I was walking around the University of Central Arkansas, and I saw a sign that said Christian Student Center, and we serve free meals. I was like, huh, what is that? And then it wasn't until a couple of years later, I took a trip down to Florida and actually was staying with a family friend that was a minister at this church, and he told me, you know, if you're going to stay in my house, you have to go to all church functions. And so I didn't want to go, but I went with him to his church, and they had a campus ministry. And that was actually the first time I was exposed to campus ministry. And, you know, what I saw was kids my own age in their early 20s actually living out their faith. And they weren't doing it in this kind of religious bubble like with a Christian college. They were living out their faith on the secular university campus of University of South Florida, about 40,000 students enrolled there. Very few percentage-wise, you know, were Christians. And I saw them living out their faith in the midst of this world where, you know, other kids were out partying and drinking and, you know, living the Greek life and all the stuff you do when you're in college if you're the average person. These guys were living a different way. And not only were they living a different way, they were reaching out to people that were hurting around them. And, you know, I know a lot of you probably are church kids too. I grew up in the church, like I said. Church, when I was growing up, was like a safe place you went to get away from the people that were going to bring you down, you know? But what I saw in them was something different. They weren't like going to their church to hide and be safe. They were going to the church to be equipped so that they could go out and make a difference in the lives of the people around them. And honestly, it was a different just a different understanding than I had ever had growing up in the church of kind of what faith was all about. And I think a defining moment for me was like when I saw Lynn baptizing this girl, and he came up to me afterwards, and I still wasn't a Christian. I was just visiting down there and actually training for the Marine. I won't get into all the story. I was training for the Marine Corps, staying with this guy. And
well, let me set up what you're about to say. Wes had come to me earlier in the day, and we had been having a discussion. And with Wes, there's never really a discussion. Y'all would call it argument. We were in intense discussion over getting high and how great getting high was from his perspective. And he had me a little bit angry about, so I got to defend myself from what I did to you, a little bit angry about what high is and what feels good. And so that was where we had been before this event took place. Now, you can pick back up.
He said, like, I know you've been high on a lot of things, but the greatest high you'll ever experience is what I just experienced baptizing this young lady. And
only what happened was he was at the very back of the room.
Yeah, and I wasn't
kind of just ignoring what was going on. And we baptized this young lady. She'd been a waitress at one of the places we college group went to a lot, and we ended up studying with her and baptizing her. And right after that, I got out and I walked straight up to him at the back, who's standing back there at the back watching, like, you know, whatever. And I walked up to him, pointed my finger right in his face, and I said, "That's the biggest high you'll ever experience." Yeah. I just experienced the biggest high you'll ever experience.
Yeah,
and that would make you mad, but it seemed to have different effects.
That was a different perspective. Like, you know, I just walked away from that. Like, that was really weird. And but at the same time, it stuck with me. You know, like I walked off like, man, is that really what it's all about? And I ended up later becoming a Christian, and that ministry had such an impact on me. Like, I went back and trained, and so. You know, it was a big deal for me. And I ended up meeting my wife through that ministry. And I don't know where I would be if that campus ministry hadn't existed. But basically what a campus ministry is when a church targets a university campus and they send people onto that campus to make disciples. And so it's not like a ministry where you come and you hide. A real campus ministry, a good campus ministry, is a ministry that views the university campus like a mission field. And your campus minister's job is to help you become equipped to be a missionary to your campus. Where you're going onto the campus, like we tell our kids, you're not in school to get an education. You're in school to make friends and build relationships with lost people around you so that you can share what you have in Jesus Christ with those people, and they can find the healing and the purpose and everything that you found in relationship with Jesus Christ themselves.
That may sound a bit strange to you if you've been around campus ministries before, because I know when I first went into campus ministry down there in 1999, the standard model of campus ministry at that time basically was you existed and you had a place on campus, you existed there for the kids that had come there from the church, and you came together to kind of keep them safe, keep them protected, keep them attached to the church. You did fun and exciting things to keep the energy going and to keeping the people around. That's not the style of campus ministry we ran. It's not the style of campus ministry we even teach in Campus Ministry United. As he described, we treat it as a mission field.
Yeah.
When he came into our ministry, we probably had about 100 kids. When I got there, we had about six. We had about 100 kids when he came in and had probably 120 baptisms or so. And what he witnessed was, the reason it was so dramatically different from what he'd ever seen was because there probably weren't more than three or four people in our ministry that grew up in the church. They were all unchurched kids we'd reached on the university campus. So there was a fire that was going on, because when you've been saved, you want to tell people about it. And
yeah.
So he comes into an environment, they're all telling people about it. It was a culture shock for Wes.
Yeah, and where Carrie and I are serving now, it's kind of the same deal. Like in Missouri, the Crossings was planted 9 years ago, is that right? Carrie, you got your earbud? We were planted 9 years ago?
Yeah.
And we probably have, how many would you say in our church that come from a Church of Christ background?
Out of 450 or so on a Sunday morning, maybe 10 or 15.
10 or 15, and the rest of those were people that we studied the Bible with and baptized. And so
it's a different culture.
Yeah, it is a totally different approach to ministry than what a lot of you have come from. And so you know, we say all this to say we're evangelists. Like, we're really passionate about making disciples. That's what I get up in the morning thinking about, is like, who can I impact today for the gospel? I get up in the morning praying about the people that God has put in my life that don't know Jesus. Like, how can I reach this person today? How can I get this person exposed to the Word of God in a way that's going to change their heart? You know, and that's what drives all of us. And so that's what it's all about for us. Why is there a need for campus ministry? Okay, after I went down and trained in Tampa for a year, we went to this thing called the National Campus Ministry Seminars, what it used to be called, in Norman, Oklahoma, back in 2006?
Six, I think, yeah.
2006?
Five or six.
And I remember they had this banner up on the wall, and I was a brand new Christian, like, I didn't know hardly anything. And they had this banner up on the wall that had a map of the United States. And it had all these dots just all over. Like, you could barely see the map. There were just these dots all over the thing. And it had red dots, which took up most of the map, and then black dots, which were just a few. And basically, the black dots represented university campuses that that had a campus ministry on them associated with the Church of Christ. And then the red dots were universities that had an enrollment of 10,000 or more that didn't have any sort of ministry presence on them from our faith tradition. And so there were a lot more red dots than there were black dots. And the guy that had put the map together, I talked to, he said, this map is barely even, we're barely getting started on this thing back then. And it was already covered. And so I was just, I just stood there looking at that map, and I was like, man, you know, what if that ministry that reached me, that reached my wife, that reached all our friends, hadn't been there? Like, where would I be today? Would I still be doing the same old thing? Would I still be living in that gutter that I was living in before they found me? And I remember Rick actually preached at that session, and he talked about setting God-sized goals. And he talked, he said that a God-sized goal is a goal that's so big, that's so huge, it cannot be accomplished without God's involvement. Like, you can't do it on your own. It's bigger than you. The only way you're going to accomplish that goal is if God is involved. And so that's where this kind of thought, like,
he looked at that map, and where you're talking about, he looked at that map and he said, I don't remember what he said numbers wise, but I remember him looking at the map and he said, what if, here's giving an example of God-sized goal. He said, what if somebody started an organization, started planting campus ministries?
Somebody said, it wasn't him, but somebody did say that. It was somebody else. But anyway, I'm younger. My memory's better.
Oh, I know.
It's the way it is. I know I've done some drugs, but you've been hitting the head way more than I have. Glenn's was a professional boxer, so he actually trains fight. I spent my last night watching kickboxers beat the tar out of each other. He trains fighters even still, so anyway, it's fun.
We don't need to go there.
Yeah, different squirrel. What were we talking about?
Yeah. Why would he campus ministry?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so there's not very many campus ministries.
As of about 10 years ago, the research showed there were about 250 campus ministries. We're down to less than 118.
Yeah, I think the actual count, they said at that seminar there were 200. But they were counting churches that just had like a Bible class for college students on Sunday morning. And if you actually do the count, I mean, we're down to about 100, maybe a little over 100 churches that have a staff person dedicated to campus ministry. And the sad part is, you know, we have done a series of studies with Campus Ministry United. Out of those ministries, there's just a few that are actually really focused on evangelism. There are a lot of ministries, kind of like Lynn was touching on earlier, they have a tradition of having church kids come to the school because parents and churches and youth ministers know that there's a campus ministry there. And so they constantly have a group because there's constantly new Church of Christ freshmen coming into their school. And so they go, you know, they'll go to the campus ministry because it's just kind of what you do. But if you look over time, like, they're not really doing a whole lot evangelistically. And I'm not trying to dog anybody, you know, but like,
it's just what it is.
That bothers me because, like, I was one of the lost kids. And so if you had been on my campus, like, I'd still be lost. You know what I'm saying? And so I really feel like, number one, Barna has shown 77% of the people in the United States who make a decision to follow Jesus do it by the age of 21. And the percentage goes down. Like, the older you get, if you're not religious, or if you've chosen a different religion, or if you've chosen to be atheist, like, the older you get, statistically, the less likely you are to be reached. And, like, you sort of solidify your beliefs around the time you're in college. And so whatever beliefs you choose, those are the ones you keep, like, for the rest of your life. And so if we're going to reach people in the church strategically, it really makes sense to do it when people are young, like when they're in college or when they're teens.
When they're making their decision, what they're going to do.
Yeah, that's when you're making the decision. Think about your own life. Like, when did you decide when you were going to follow Jesus? There's a very small percentage that do that after they're, you know, 23, 24.
If you're like me, you made that decision at 12 or 14 or at camp or something like that. But you really made the decision much later in life.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when it really came into play.
Like
your
committed decision. Committed decision. And so it's really, really important. Like, it's sad that 97% of the colleges in the United States don't have any sort of Church of Christ presence.
Yeah, we've got over 20 million college students that will make their decision what religious faith they're going to follow this year. And our religion's not even one of their choices to choose from.
Yeah, like for the first time in history, the majority of young people in the United States are going to go to college. And that number is just increasing every year. And, you know, Campus Crusade is the largest campus ministry organization in the world. They're only on, in the whole world, a little over 1,000 campuses. And, I mean, they do good work where they are. We have some disagreements, but I'm a fan of CRU. But there's over 4,000 colleges and universities just in the United States. Just in the United States. So, like, if they're only on 1,000 worldwide and they're the largest ones, we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of kids out there that are open to the gospel, that are open to, you know, conversation. Like, I planted a campus ministry in California, in San Francisco. And before I went and planted that, I took a video camera and I just went up to campus one day. And I just started having conversations with these kids about faith. And I asked them, you know, what do you think about Buddha? What do you think about Muhammad? What do you think about Jesus? And, I mean, all of them were really open to talking. And, you know, their conclusion, of course, was, well, they're all kind of the same guy. You know, there's no real difference there. But it was just amazing. Like, I could go up to these total strangers and sit down. And, like, only a couple of them didn't want to talk to me. Like, the vast majority of them were just like, yeah, we'll talk, you know. And so kids are open to these conversations. They're open to these relationships. But the problem is, man, there's nobody there.
And I'll tell you, I keep hearing people say, I read it in books, I hear it at workshops, I hear it all over the place, that this generation doesn't want to talk about Jesus. They don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want you talking to them about Jesus. I'm telling you from my experience on a university campus, and even just recently, as Clint Hill's been brought on as campus minister at Park Plaza, since January you've had, what, 16 conversions? Since January. We are not finding the university campuses reluctant to talk to us. We're finding the people that are there reluctant to talk to them.
Yeah.
We're finding our church people reluctant to talk to them. But when we go start and talk to people, we don't have a problem in the world starting up conversations and ending up leading into Bible studies and ending up with conversion.
Yeah.
We had over 250 conversions in the Tampa ministry over the 12-year period that I was there. And I'll tell you, I don't think I was doing a very good job at that. That's a low number from what I'm witnessing in ministries like Kerry Cox's ministry and some others across the country.
Yeah.
They're baptizing over 100 a year.
Yeah, I mean,
they are receptive.
It's awesome. It's honestly pretty simple. If people will just do it, like, it's pretty simple. But the need is so great because there's not very many ministries. Number one, there's just hardly any. We're on less than 3% of the colleges and universities in the United States. And number two, kids are so open. Kids are so open. If we'll just sit down and talk to them. Number three, it's strategic. Because if you think about who is on the university campuses today, future doctors, future lawyers, future government officials, future military leaders. The people who are going to be running the cities tomorrow are on university campuses today.
All over the world.
Yeah, like when he was talking about the Chinese sending their best and brightest to us, those are people that are going to be running China in the next 20 years.
We convert them here and they go home with
us. They go home as missionaries.
And it is happening.
Yeah. The vast majority of the world sends their best and brightest to us. A lot of people don't know that. Like, if you're going to be a leader in another country, you come and get your education in the United States.
Right.
That's the way it is all over the world. And so you want to talk global missions, like, we reach them in our backyard and send them home as missionaries. That's another thing. So there's a great need. What's a job in campus ministry like? You want to talk about that?
What's a job? I remember one time, probably second or third year in the ministry, really stressed about what was going on. I'd taken about, I don't know, I'm probably an exaggerator, somewhere around 50 kids, and had gone to Universal Studios. And we're standing in line at Universal Studios. I'm handing out the tickets to Universal Studios. I'm going back to the back of the line. I'm sitting there and shaking my head, thinking, oh man, this is so much work. This is so hard. And all of a sudden it hit me. Wait a minute. I'm standing in line to go to Universal Studios, and I'm calling this work. I heard a youth minister speak at the Tulsa Workshop one time a number of years ago, stood up and gave a great sermon. It really was good. And he spoke, repeatedly kept saying, I have the best job in the world. If anybody thinks there's a better one, come and tell it to me when I get done speaking. And just over and over and over, he kept saying that. And so when it was over, I went up and talked to him, and I said, I think I know one that's better. And he said, there can't be one better than youth ministry. I said, what if you could do youth ministry and not have to deal with the parents? And he said, well, that would probably be better. I said, it's called campus ministry.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, when I think about having a job in campus ministry, like I see my job as equipping the kids as missionaries. Mm-hmm. And part of the way we're missionaries is we build relationships with outsiders. And what he was just talking about, like, we do fun stuff, and sometimes people look at campus ministry and they just see, like, the fun stuff. Like, you guys are just goofing off all the time. But we'll have really big events because we want to develop a reputation of we're guys who like to throw parties, we're guys who like to have fun on a campus. We want people to be friendly to coming to one of our events. Why? Because we want to develop a relationship with those people so that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them.
Everybody in one of our ministries is called a soul fighter. Go ahead. I'm going to keep interrupting.
Oh, okay. that's what we do. We try to build relationships with outsiders and share the gospel with them and then disciple them to maturity.
So when we hold these large events, it's to bring in a crowd. You bring in a crowd of 1,000 people to a big event. We hold Humans versus Zombies in Tampa. I had 1,500 college students playing, and so this buzz is on campus like crazy. Well, we didn't hold the event to have the buzz on campus. We hold the event so that our kids, he was there, our kids are taught to go out and meet them, get to know them, go where they go, do what they do. Then when you say, hey, where are you going? I'm going to cross chat. They go where you go, and they do what you do. Before you know it, you're in Bible studies, and bang, you convert one, that person converts 12. I can say that because his wife was one of them. When Ariel came in and we baptized her, within a year she had met 12 people and baptized them.
Yeah. Well, and here's kind of just a model that we work off of. We work off of a funnel is a good description of it. Like, we'll have a large event. Like a couple weeks ago we had our root beer kegger. We had 700 kids show up to our root beer kegger. People are like, what's a root beer kegger? Well, it's a keg with root beer in it, and come to a keg stand, you know. And some people, religious people, look at that and they're like, oh, that's wrong, you know, you can't do that, you're glorifying drinking. And I'm like, it's root beer, bro, come on.
Ice cream floats right over there.
Come on. So we'll have a DJ and we'll have lights and we'll have fun, and we'll have, how many kids are in our ministry, about 70, 65?
Yeah,
we'll have all of them there. They have been coached ahead of time. What's your job? Your job as a member of this campus ministry is to go meet two or three new friends. You get their phone number. You get their Facebook info. Your job is to spend the evening hanging out with them, getting to know them, getting to be their friend at this event that we're having. Then you set up something later in the week with them. You go out to eat with them. You go to a movie. You have them over to, you know, to hang out, whatever. You continue building that relationship with them. And then what we'll do next, we call a cross chat. This is where we'll have five of these in our ministry. We have five different houses on Tuesday nights. We have what we call cross chat, which is like a party. And it's a party, only this time, instead of you know, there being just a party, we'll also have a little short study with it. That's discussion based. You know, we'll share a couple of scriptures, but we'll share something to get them thinking. And our people, our kids that are there, like, you know, if this week our cross chat's going to be on baggage, and so we'll talk about the kind of
luggage.
Yeah, the kind of we'll get something to get people talking, and then we'll talk about the kind of baggage people have in their life. And we'll have talked with our campus ministry members, the kids that are already part of our group. We need you to speak up during the study, and we need you to tell about how you were abused sexually by your dad, like growing up. And this is something they're open to, because we talk about this kind of stuff all the time. We need you to talk about you know, how you were abandoned. We need you to talk about whatever, and this is the baggage that
that's real in their life.
And so it gets real. Like, it gets real. And so guests will come into that environment, and for the first time, maybe they're hearing people talk about stuff that people don't normally talk about, that's really hurtful and harmful. And we have guests break into tears at our study sometimes, and we have guests sometimes talk about stuff they've never talked about with anybody before. And so it gets real and it gets deep. And we'll take them deeper from there. We'll get them into, if they keep coming around, we'll get them into a personal Bible study. We do all of our Bible studies two-on-one, never one-on-one, because we're always teaching somebody else how to study the Bible with somebody. And so you come in and, you know, say, I've got Lynn with me. I'm leading the study. We're studying with one of you guys. I'll tell you, in that first study, Lynn's going to be here. He's going to be taking notes. We've got set studies that we go through, which are available. If you guys want them, we'll give them to you. I'm going to tell him Lynn's here. He's going to be taking notes because we're teaching Lynn how to do what I'm going to do with you today.
At some point, they expect me to be sitting where
he's sitting. Exactly. One of these days.
And the person that's come in and brought his friend.
Exactly.
So we're building in an expectation.
We cast a vision right there of, you know, we're here, you know, we love studying the Bible with people. We love helping people in their relationship with God. And we cast that vision early. And so we'll take them through these studies, and, you know, we're real honest about commitment and, like, what it looks like to follow Jesus. And, like, we'll take them through Luke 14, where it talks about leaving everything to follow Jesus, you know, eventually. And so, and we don't baptize anybody right away. Like, we don't study baptism first thing. When we talk about seeking God. We talk about the Word of God. We talk about sin and the cross. We talk about discipleship. We go through a lot of things before we get to repentance and baptism. And then when we get to repentance and baptism, we teach them, this is just a first step. And we're going to continue studying the Bible with you after repentance and baptism. We're going to study probably for the next 6 months or so, every week.
Part of the importance of how we're doing it is we don't just teach them to do it. We actually show them how to do it. When Clint started first in his ministry at Park Plaza, for example, he started teaching to them how this is, what we're teaching you now, how it works, how we do this. In the meantime, I was in relationship development, relationship with one of the fighters I was training, current world heavyweight champion. I was training him, and I was in conversations with him. So when they had through their first party, and we told all them, now here is your opportunity. You've learned. Now you're supposed to invite friends and bring them to it. The only person to bring anybody to that party was me, world heavyweight champion. Comes to the party, enjoys himself. After the party is all over, the next 2 days later, when we're talking about it, breaking down what happened at the party, we're asking them, okay, who brought somebody? Who brought a guest? The most unlikely person in the room to be bringing a guest, because they were all college kids. They couldn't figure out how to bring somebody, but I brought somebody. That's not to brag. It's to show you that we actually don't just talk it. We go and do it ourselves.
Yeah.
We baptized that gentleman a couple months later.
Mm. Yeah. And so this is kind of the model we use. And there are other models out there. I'm not saying this is like the one. But our goal in all of this is not just to baptize people. It's not just to get people to show up to stuff. Our goal is to make disciples. Mm-hmm. Like, our goal is to help people not just get in the water, but actually help them become mature where they're out there and they're producing fruit themselves. The fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of new disciples, they're bringing it. And so what we're after is multiplication. You know, we don't define success by how many people are showing up to events. We define success by how many people are actually becoming mature in Christ and bearing fruit.
What he's explaining to you is we create a discipling culture within the church.
That's a good way to put it. Like, that's what we're all about. And so, I mean, I don't care where you're going. Like, I believe that's, like, if I was overseas in Africa, I would be doing the same thing. It may not be the same model, because the culture, like, your model will depend on the culture. But I would be after making disciples who make disciples. That would be how I determine success. And this just happens to be a model that works well with campus ministry in the United States. We found that it works very well, and we've replicated this model in several places. And so this is kind of what we teach whenever somebody wants to come to us and learn how to do campus ministry. This is the model that we work off of. Models change, principles don't. Okay, so don't think this is the only way to do this. But we found this works very, very well in the United States. So this is kind of what we do. And so, you know, a job in campus ministry, you're kind of the point person, if you're working this model, that makes this happen. And so your main job as a campus minister is to develop other people to be leaders. Your main job is in people development. My favorite book, anybody in here like to read, write this down. My favorite book, Robert E. Coleman, The Master Plan of Evangelism. It is my favorite book. It's one of the few that I've read several times besides, you know, the Bible.
Can you write that up on the board?
Sure. It's available on Kindle for $4.99.
When he said our goal as campus minister is to develop leaders, we take it one step further than that too. We develop leaders and teach them how to develop leaders. And if, as long as that process continues, you'll always have leaders developing underneath and always have someone coming in. Campus ministry is very fluid. A lot of kids, they spend their 4 years in school, 4, 5, or 10, depending on the plan they're on, and they end up to get their bachelor's in 10. We've had plenty do that. And then they head off to somewhere else, right? Normally in our campus ministries, that's not necessarily true. They get on fire for God. They find out their life is that they went in there because they were going to go do this for a career. Now they're in there for a whole different reason. They want to be soul fighters the rest of their life. They're continuing to develop people. And a lot of them stay around our ministries, or they pick up and move to someplace we've planted a ministry and support that ministry and develop disciples there. We have that happening quite a bit. Young ladies all over the place picking up and moving. Talk to us afterwards. We'll give you living examples of them that are currently doing it. Picked up, left their jobs where they were in Tampa, moved to Springfield, Missouri, Claremore, Oklahoma, etc., etc., etc.
Why don't you tell them how they can get started? I'm looking for a slide.
How they can get started doing what?
How can I get started in the campus?
The best way, I believe the only real way to get started in campus ministry is go someplace that has an active evangelistic campus ministry. Someplace that is, they're teaching their people how to fight for souls on campus. Go there and learn from them and watch what they're doing, mentor what they're doing. In Campus Ministry United, we have a program for training campus ministers. If you are interested in that, talk to us afterwards. It's a 2-year training program that you have to go through. And that's basically what you do. If you were to come in, if he was to say, come to us and say, I want to train, and go through an interview process and be approved for the training, and receive a scholarship for it. When he came into the program, he would shadow the campus minister at the location we put him, whether it was Kerry Cox's ministry or Clint Hill's ministry. He would go to one of those ministries and he would literally shadow everything that minister does, find out what he did, why he did it, why he changed the way he did it, every aspect of campus ministry, so that in 2 years when he comes out, he knows how to do evangelistically focused campus ministry.
So we're all about the mentoring. Like, if you want to get started in campus ministry, one of the things that bore out in the studies is we found a lot of campus ministries in the United States do internships. but they reproduce what they are. And so if you were trained in a ministry that's not reaching anybody and not making any disciples, and maybe gauge a success by how many people are showing up to a Bible study, you're going to go out and do that kind of ministry when you get out. But we gauge success differently. It's about making disciples who are multiplying. And that's a whole different level. That's a whole different target that you're shooting at. And we found that people that train in those kind of ministries that are focused on that, well, they reproduce what they are. And so you can go train anywhere, but if you don't train in a ministry that's making disciples, you're probably not going to do it yourself. Because there's a whole lot of mentoring and training and stuff that you have to learn from somebody that knows about that stuff. So it's not about ability. Like, it's honestly just about skill development. And if you've never developed the skill, that's not to say you're not able to. But if you've never developed the skills, if you've never been trained, then...
It's much harder if you haven't been
trained. It is. You know, I know people who have gone in the mission field, and I don't know why this happens, but there are big churches out there that fund missionaries overseas to go do this kind of work. And I've sat down with the missionaries, and they're like, hey, can you teach me how to study the Bible with somebody? Because I've never done it before. I'm like, aren't you leaving, like, next week?
Aren't you a graduate, you know, like, Christian college?
Yeah, and you won't learn how to do this kind of stuff in school. And I don't have anything against Christian education. Like, I've got a couple of degrees. I like Christian education, but I didn't learn how to make disciples when I was sitting in a classroom. You learn how to make disciples out in the field, actually working with people. And with somebody sitting there telling you you're doing it wrong or you're doing it right. You know, it's not something that happens in a classroom. And so I think, you know, I like the AIM program because it gives you guys some practical experience, but I think what you need more than anything is to go be with somebody that's making disciples and sit at their feet, and not just sit at their feet, walk with them too.
And I can't tell you how disappointed it is to see people go off in a missionary field and do the work that they do over there, and do good work, and then come back and not do anything when they get home. You sit and talk with them, well, why not? Why can't you do it? Well, I don't know. I just don't know how to study with people here. I just don't know how to do it here. You can do it there, but you can't do it here. There's something wrong with that. You need to think that through your heart. If you can't do it here, you really can't do it there. You might even have to analyze what you did there. We're about down to about 4 minutes, Wes.
I wanted to throw this up real quick.
Close on time.
This is what we're doing in Missouri. We have a vision to plant churches all over that region. Our current congregation is up here in Wentzville. The first congregation we planted is in Alton, Illinois. The church that I'm going to be working with that's going to go in next year is right here at University City. There's a whole bunch of colleges around here. Like, for each one of these, we don't plant a church unless there's a university, because the campus ministry is going to drive most of our evangelism. Like, most of our conversions and most of our new people that are coming in are going to be college students. Downside of that is we don't have any money. Seriously, like, we don't have any money. We are so poor. Like, we don't even know how we're going to pay our light bill sometime at the church building. But we don't care, because people's lives are being changed. And Carrie is going to talk. You want to tell them what you're doing later?
So I think right now you're kind of getting an idea of what CME is about, why we want to play campus ministries. But I think a lot of times whenever it comes to wanting to do something like this, it's hard to buy into unless you really have a heartfelt reason to do so. And so if you come back at 2, I really hope you will, because I think that I'm going to give you some reasons that are going to tug at your heartstrings. Sometimes it's glamorous to think about going to a third world country and get involved, because we see all the hurt there and it's very, very visible. And I want to talk to you about some stories from my ministry and my students, tell you who they are, where they come from, what life has been like. I'll probably cry. But I'm getting choked up thinking about it. But it's the heart of, like, why it's so important.
Yeah.
So I hope you'll come back at 2 and you'll get to see why campus ministry is so important.
Here's the single most effective campus ministry in our brotherhood.
He's okay. Just so you guys know, Lynn and I are both missionaries. I don't think we mentioned that. I'm a domestic missionary for the Downtown Church of Christ in Searcy, Arkansas. They pay for me to go up here and reach people in Missouri. Lynn is supported by the Park Plaza Church of Christ in Tulsa.
Partially.
And he's a tent worker. And I'm a tent maker too. Like, I work in the radio business. But, like, we mostly just go out and tell people about Jesus. And we get paid to do it. So it's pretty cool. Can't complain. Are there any questions?
Yeah.
What?
Are we out of time?
Add the dynamic for females in this, model, in this ministry.
Oh, we're big into female leadership. Seriously.
I think what she's talking about, we've grown up in the church. I grew up in Church of Christ also, and in the church we have somehow left this impression that women are no good unless they're married and developing children, and that's it. So children that are going to Bible class and go to Christian college and meet their mate, and et cetera, et cetera. And we are kind of tearing that model up, throwing it out the window. We're telling young ladies, you are a minister. You're as much a minister as any man is a minister, and we teach you how to actually do that, and you pick up and move to a place like Springfield, Missouri, where one of our young ladies has moved to. She's the female ministry side of that ministry there. There's a male campus minister there, single, and she's there as the female side of the campus ministry, and she's operating and running. And that's not the single model. We have two that are in Claremore, Oklahoma, two young ladies that are with a young man there. So we teach our young ladies to be a part of the ministry and be ministers, not this model that's been laid out before us before.
It's more activity than you'll ever
get your
hands on.
Yeah.
The girls make disciples. Like
he'll explain the heart part of it. Then you really need to go to his session or two.
Yeah,
we're out of time.
We got a couple more minutes.
Do we?
Yeah, it's 10:40. Yeah, we got 3 minutes.
Okay,
3 minutes.
He was real strict on the time.
What's the best way to go about trying to change the mindset of a campus ministry that's already in place?
I would leave. No, I'm being dead serious. I would leave.
I'm a student right now. I can't leave.
Yeah.
Talk to me afterwards, and we'll get some detail about that. Because
that's a big question.
Yeah, it really is.
And I don't mean to be. I'm not trying to be.
We just don't have time to answer that right now. I promise you.
Yeah, I'm being. But yeah.
Yes, sir.
In proposing a kind of a model to a congregation, what is oftentimes the biggest hurdle to jump over to get a congregation to buy into?
So many congregations, the biggest hurdle in my opinion that I hear, and I get calls from campus ministers all over the country dealing with this, the biggest hurdle is it's hard for them to see something they haven't ever seen before, and trying to give them an explanation of something they've never seen. It sounds good to them, but when you really start getting down to it and saying, okay, you've got 20 church kids in your, let me tell you what's going to happen within the next 6 months, you're going to be down to 2 or 3. Because when our church kids, and I'm not bashing church kids, I am one now, but when they hear this different model and how it calls them into action instead of passiveness, they start getting scared and they start moving away and they start distancing themselves from the ministry. They start looking for a young adult ministry to go to, and all of a sudden you're down to a couple of kids and the church is going, what do we do? What do we do? This wasn't what I told you. Just give it time. We're developing a model, and before you know it, you got 100 church kids. We out of time?
I think one important thing before what I'm saying is what Campus Ministry United is trying to do is plant churches with campus ministries, because sometimes that problem, and also sometimes our existing churches, they have a hard time accepting and understanding the broken, hurt world that's flooding in their door holes.
So, yeah,
it's very, very, it's a very different model.
It's a lot easier. The reason I said what I said, I wasn't being a jerk. It's a lot easier to start a new culture than it is to change an existing one. And I remember Flavel Yakeley, some of you guys may have heard his name before. He was one of my professors when I was in college, and he said, Wes, it's a lot easier to make babies than it is to raise the dead, and it's a lot more fun too. And that stuck with me.
No documentary, that was hilarious.
Yeah, that was really fun. Never mind.
Yeah.
you wouldn't expect him to say something like that. But anyway, we're out of time. Guys, we're going to hang out in here. If any of you guys have more questions and want to come up and talk to us, I think we were told a hard break of 10:45. Let me pray a blessing on you as we dismiss today. Lord God, I want to thank you for the people in this room. Father, I want to pray for whatever work they end up with. Father, I pray you bless them to make disciples. God, I pray you bless them to carry out the Great Commission in whatever part of the world they end up in. And Father, I pray for our country here. We've got so many people that are lost and hurting that need Jesus. And I pray for you to raise workers up to go to them, those that are so open to the gospel and to your word, only nobody's going to them. God, I pray you motivate people in this room to be pulled that direction. If that is your will, Lord, and we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, guys.